To finish up the book of Acts today, and we're going to see Paul. We're going to see Paul in a whole new light. Because, well, I say a whole new light. I mean, I don't know. Paul's been through every gamut that he could go through in the book of Acts. Amen. He has been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's been put in jail. He's been hated. He has been rescued. He has been lowered down through a window to get out of the city. And then he's been imprisoned again. And so Paul's ride through the book of Acts has been pretty amazing. And I titled this message, Continuing on. Now think about this. Paul has had every reason in the world to quit. He's had every reason in the world to back up. He's had every reason in the world to run the other way. He's had every reason in the world. I mean, legitimate reason. You know, some of us, we just have excuses, but he's got legitimate reason to go, I've had enough. I can't take anymore. I can't do anymore. I can't fight anymore. I'm done. I'm tired. It's over. I'm out. And I've heard so many people say this, look, I put my time in. If you're not dead, you're not done. You get what I'm saying? You haven't put your time in. Your time is done when you're dead. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So now that you all agree with me, let's look at Paul. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 26. Or 27, we finished up 26 last week. And for Paul got discouraged. Paul wanted to quit. Paul sucked it up. Paul got back in the fight. Paul got a little depressed. Paul said, okay, time to gird up my loins. Let's move forward. Paul got a little beat up. He was like, man, I don't know, I can take much more of this. He girded up his loins. He moved forward. Paul got arrested. He was like, oh, man, really? And he girded up his loins, and he moved forward. And then Paul has had every reason in the world to say enough is enough, and yet moves forward. Some of us, we go, oh, so-and-so didn't say good morning, and I'm leaving the church. I've been wounded. Let me get a gun and I'll show you wounded, okay? I mean, really? I mean, wounded because somebody didn't say hello? Why don't you go to them? Because if they didn't say hello, it's probably because they've got so much going on in their life, they've been distracted, and they can't cut off. They can't break away. And it's not that they didn't see you, it's just that they didn't see you, and because they're so preoccupied. So maybe, wait a minute, maybe, just a thought here, they need prayer. Maybe they just had something really bad happen in their life. Maybe they just got a phone call, or maybe they got an email, or they got a text, and it just blew them out of the water, and they just need somebody to come alongside of them and take their hand and say, hey, how you doing, man? Let me pray for you. Maybe they just need a hug. And by the way, it's okay, men, to hug men. It's okay. Just don't pinch their backside when you're hugging them, and I don't think anybody will have a problem with it. Amen? You get some of you didn't like that, but you understand what I'm saying. It is okay to love on people. It's okay to help them through because, man, times just get tough. But that doesn't give us a right to stop. It doesn't give us an excuse to keep living for us and forget about everybody else. It doesn't give us a reason to go, well, you know what? I've been hurt and I'm tired of being hurt and so I just quit. Well, let me tell you this. As your pastor and being in the ministry now, this October will be 19 years. Does that mean I'm old? No, I'm just kidding. That explains the gray, the lack of hair. Listen, what didn't turn loose turned gray, but I'm still here. And if I used the excuse I've been hurt, I'd have been out a long time ago. If I used the excuse, well, you know what, because I'm just going to tell you right now, praise God, they're not here today, but I've had dragons sitting in the auditorium And you go, what do you mean dragons? Yeah, you know what? Here's what they do. They have one purpose, is to come in and destroy the pastor, the church, whatever, because they want it their way, how they want it. And they don't care who they hurt or how bad they hurt them, as long as they are progressing with their agenda, and their agenda is ungodly. Well, listen, if I ran every time a dragon showed up, I'd have been out of the ministry 19 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, if I would have ran every time somebody hurt my feelings, I would have been out 19 years ago. It is what it is, and it's part of life. And I don't know why, but if somebody hurts you out in the world, then you go, well, it's okay. And you move on with life. If somebody hurts you in the church, you're like, oh, I'm dying. I can't go on. Why is it so much more of a deal in church than what it is outside of church? And why do we attack the Christians more than the people out in the world? Why is it that we don't forgive the people who love Jesus, our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we'll forgive a heathen? Why? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Well, Paul has to deal with all of that. Paul has to move on, and he is hurt, and he is injured, and he is imprisoned, and yet he forgives, and he moves forward, and backing up is not an option, and attacking other people is not an option. Here's the option. Ask God to give you the strength, forgive those who offended you, and continue on. And that's what Paul does. He continues on. In 27... He, if you remember, in 26, he just got out of the courtroom with Festus, King Agrippa, I'm sorry, and Festus. And so now he goes from King Agrippa, now he's going to Caesar. So they put him on a boat in 27:1. It's the voyage to Rome. He's put on a boat, and he's got to go to Rome. And as he's heading out to Rome, several things happen. And it's very interesting as we look at this, because what happens here is he's sent out to Rome, and then Paul warns them, and Paul says, hey, listen, look here in 27:10. He says, let's look at 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. Paul said, hey, listen, I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me loud and clear. And then in 10, he says, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Paul is a godly man. He says, I want to tell you what's going to happen, and if you don't listen to me, this is going to be an ugly ride. You have to hear what I'm saying. Well, Paul, and they know that he knows God. They know that he loves God. They know that God has used him. They know God speaks to him. They know all this because, listen, he's a prisoner because of God. And so this is no surprise to the captain of the ship, no surprise to the people on the ship, but look at their response in verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. So you have people who don't know God, who are ungodly, has persuaded the rest of the crew to move on into the dangerous water, to move on at the risk and at the possible cost of life. And you know, we do the same thing, don't we? Well, God says, well, I know, but my buddy down the road, Frankie, yeah, I know he's a pothead, but listen, he says, and so I'm going to follow Frankie. I don't know any Frankie. I'm just throwing it out there. You get what I'm saying? We do that. Why? Because Frankie lines up more with what I want to do than what God does. Now, God might be truthful, but Frankie is my buddy, and there's things we got to do, and so my desire is more important than God's word. That's literally what was going on here, and so many of us, we do just like the crew does here. They believe the ungodly and the worldly rather than the godly and God. And they move on, and we jeopardize our entire family, we jeopardize our lives, our health, our jobs, we jeopardize our church, we jeopardize all of that because we've chosen to believe the ungodly rather than the godly. And so Paul says, hey, I'm telling you, listen, you can't do this. And so in verse 11, 27:11, it says, but nevertheless, they did it. And verse 12, because the harbor was not suitable to winter, and the majority advised to set sail from there also by means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor. And they said, you know what? This isn't even, but we're going to move on. And it's not even adequate to move on, but we're going to move on. What? Stop. Stop and listen. Nope, we can't do that. Well, then we roll into 27:13. 27:13, they roll into the storm. Now, how many here have storms in life? Yeah, every one of us, right? Why is it, though, that we go, I'm not going to listen to God, and I'm not going to listen to the godly, I'm going to listen to myself, and I'm going to listen to the ungodly, and we roll right into the storm, and before we know it, we're in the midst of the storm, and we go, how did I get here? I can help you with that. How did I get here? Here's the answer. You wouldn't listen. Right? That's how you got there. You refused to listen. And you said, I'm going to listen to me, and I'm going to listen to my buddies, and I'm not going to listen to God, and I'm not going to listen to the godly. And so all of a sudden, you're in the midst of a storm, but when you're in the midst of the storm, who's the first one you call? God. And the godly, right? You immediately start praying and calling for somebody else to pray for you because you're in the midst of a storm, even though you're like, I don't know how I got here, when you really know how you got there because you wouldn't listen, but now you're crying out for help. Wow. It's kind of what happens here in 27. Paul says, I told you, I've warned you, stay away, don't go there, this isn't a good thing, you're going to jeopardize the ship, you're going to jeopardize the crew, you're going to jeopardize everything on it and the lives, don't go there. No, Paul, we're not going to listen to you. Oh, Paul, pray for us. And that's what happens. So in 13, they roll in into the storm. Go down, or in 27:17. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. So all of a sudden, now they're in the midst of the storm, and in 17, it says, you know what? Now they're spending all their energy trying to salvage the ship and their lives, when if they just would have listened, it would have been an expense and an effort that never would have had to have occurred. See, we think, oh, you know what, this is good, and we roll into it, and before you know it, we're caught up in all this expense and all this heartache and all this pain and all this stuff that's going on. And by the way, you're not alone because you've drugged somebody else with you because you are a person of influence, whether you like it or not or believe it or not. And so you drag somebody else with you, and when you drag them with you, now they're hurting and they're in pain. And so all of a sudden, you start spending all this effort to repair what could have been avoided had you just listened. This is where we're at. And so you, when you look at this, you go, how does this involve me? Because we make silly decisions just like the people with Paul make. And then we run and spend all this extra money, all this extra time, all this extra effort to repair because we wouldn't listen. Wow. How it's amazing how we can relate to Paul's journey, isn't it? Look here in 18. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. Because the storm kept getting worse and worse, and we were in an exceedingly bad storm, is what he's saying. All of a sudden, we had to start throwing our cargo overboard. Guys, when we sin, when we don't listen, when we leave God out, when we don't take the wise counsel of the godly, and when we don't spend time in prayer, guess what happens? It costs us money. And we have to take things that are of value that we worked hard for, that we were trying to obtain and trying to keep, and all of a sudden, we got to start throwing it out. Why? Because all of a sudden we got to sell something to make up for our mistakes. All of a sudden we got to get rid of it and file chapter 13 because we couldn't afford it to begin with, but we wouldn't listen to anybody that told us we couldn't afford it, and we went ahead and bought it anyway. And so now we got to get rid of all this stuff, and you got to start lightening the load so you can breathe again. This is what's going on here. Because they wouldn't listen, all of a sudden they got to start throwing their cargo overboard. Guys, we're no different in life if we don't listen to God. When we don't listen to God, we roll into a storm. We ask, how in the world did we get here? Okay, now let's get rid of everything we can to make the difference up for being here. There's no difference. So he goes on, verse 19. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. So now that we got rid of the cargo that was paying us money, now we're getting rid of the things that are actually going to help us. Because we got to get rid of everything now. Man, the water's deep, the waves are high, the storm and the wind is strong. And so now we're getting rid of the necessities. Not just the pleasures, but now the necessities. Why? Because we couldn't listen. He goes on in 20. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever been in a situation where you go, it's over? I mean, we've rode this one so far and there is no recovery. And all of a sudden you feel like you're drowning. You ever been there? We went to, I think 2 weeks ago, we went up to Lake George, and there's a rock up there called Spider Rock. Anybody ever hear of Spider Rock up at Lake George? It's somewhere between 30 and 50 feet tall. And the reason I say that is because when you're on the water and you're looking up, it looks like 30 feet, but when you're on top looking down, it looks like 50 feet. And so we get up there, and all of us jump in from the top of the rock. And as you're jumping in, on the way down, you're going, I could have climbed down and it would have been okay, right? And so you jump in, and now for me, I jumped in, and I put my hands over my head because, you know, you don't want any restrictions. But what I forgot to do was point my toes. And so I landed on the water flat-footed. That hurt. I'm just telling you, for like 2-3 days, 2 weeks, it still reminds me. No, okay. But I mean, it hurt. Taylor jumps in. She's doing perfect, except for I think she wanted to look and see, and she did it at the last minute and smacked her face on the water. Yeah, so she's laying there going, right? And so Tori jumped first. She's like, everybody stand there. Who's going first? Tori goes, I am. Right off. Well, she goes and she lands in a sitting position. Yeah, okay. And so my Brian jumps. Brian was with us, and he's not here today, so you can laugh at him when you see him. He jumps, and when he jumps from this rock, he does this all the way down. Maybe he's watching. Let me get dead center of the camera. So, Brian, if you're watching, this is what he did. Like, all the way down. So we laugh at him because he was trying to fly. Sherry jumps, which it was her and I up there last, and I go, listen, are you going to jump? I'm going to jump. I go, if you don't jump, I'm jumping. She goes, I'm going to jump. And I go, well, you got to jump. She goes, I don't want to be last. I go, well, then you better jump because I'm going to jump. And so, I don't know, 30 minutes later, it's just a few minutes. So she finally jumps, and when she jumps, she lands. I don't even know how she landed. I'm just going to be honest with you. All I know is she came up. She could no longer hear. She could no longer talk right. And it just, it was weird. And so, what? I'm just sharing. And she recovered. Eventually the water drained, and she could hear again as well as she could ever hear. And I think it's selective hearing, though, I'm just saying. And now she just has another excuse for her selection. But, so anyway, we jump off this rock, you know. And when I jumped so I would go straight down. Well, it's a long way down, so you have to time your breath, right? Anybody ever do that? But you timed your breath wrong? And so I held my breath too soon. And so I go down. Well, I'm just telling you, when you jump from 150 feet and you go into the water, okay, so I exaggerated a little bit, and you go into the water, you're going straight down. And so not thinking, because my feet are stinging like crazy right now, and I'm underwater, and I have no clue how far underwater I am. And so my mind is going, oh, that hurt. But then I'm not swimming to get to the top. And then I realize I can't breathe. Like, that breath of air only lasts so long for me. I don't know about you. And then I'm going, okay, I got to get to the top. Well, all of a sudden you start seeing, because now you're swimming, right? Like, you're trying to get to the top. And you can see the light, but you also realize your lungs are burning and it feels, anybody ever been there? And you want to take this deep breath, but you can't take the deep breath, but you can see the light, but you're not there yet. And the light's deceiving. I just want you to know. Like, I thought it was there, but I still wasn't breaking the plane yet. And I'm going, oh my goodness, and my lungs were burning. That's kind of how we get in the storm, isn't it? We get so deep into it, and all of a sudden we start panicking, or a little anxiety sets in because we didn't listen, we didn't pay attention, whatever it is, and we're so deep in, and now we go, how are we going to get out? That's this storm. They gave up. Now, I didn't give up. I thought, man, I'm going to kick and flail, and who cares what I look like when I come up, right? But then as soon as you break, you're like, yeah, it was good. Right? Right? How many? You guys know what I'm talking about. And so, but they gave up hope. They were so deep in to the storm, and it was so rough, they gave up hope. No stars, no sunshine. And it says that they finally had given up. Verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. That's salt in the wound. I told you so, right? It's like, they go, listen, Paul said, guys, I'm not going to tell you I told you so. But I told you so. I'm just, you know, just for the record. He goes, you should have listened to me. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. So Paul points out, listen, you know what, guys? Had you listened to the godly, had you listened to God, you wouldn't have incurred the headache you have. There are so many of us here today and not here today who think we know more, who think we know best. Who think, hey, I've got the answer. I'll fix it my way. And then there's God going, like Paul did, you should have listened to me. And then we do this, the ultimate, I know, but will you help me anyway? Right? Right? Do we do this? Paul's going, you should have listened to me. And God tells us, you should have listened to me. And you're going, I know. And then we get delivered. But when we get delivered, why is it that we want to go right back into the storm? Because we think it's our life preserver? Speaking of life preservers, on the same trip, we decided to swim out to a rock. It's a little rock out in the middle of the lake of Lake George. And of course, when you look at it, you go, ah, that's not that far. Because I'm standing up on a rock, looking out at a rock. And so distance is, perception's a little off. And so we're like, hey, let's swim out there. So I said, all right, girls, if we're going to swim out there, then all of us are going to put a life vest on. And then that way you get tired, you just float. Well, we get about, I don't know, a quarter of the way out there, which felt like we had already swam out and back. And I look out and I'm like, man, that thing is still a long ways off. Finally, we get to the rock. Finally, we leave the rock and we get back to shore. And we're like, man, what were we thinking? Tori's holding on to me. She's trying to drown me. She's like, Dad, you be the propeller. I'll put you underwater and you swim. And we're trying to get back in, right? And we finally get in, and then what is the recommendation the next day? Hey, let's swim out to the rock again. It's like, are you crazy? What are you thinking? And yet we do that, and Paul says, hey, you should have listened to me. Look here in 22. He says, and now, because you didn't listen to me, and I'm telling you, you should have listened to me, in verse 22 he says, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Guys, this is crucial right here. In 23 through 26, I really want you to get this because there's a lot of meat in this passage. And there's a lot of application if you're willing to apply it. Look here in 26 or 23. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Paul clarified, listen, I got a clear and concise message from God. Not your gods, your little g gods, but my God, big God, creator of you and everything else. So he makes it very clear who the message came from. Look here in 24. This is what the angel told me that my God said. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Don't be afraid, Paul. I've got you. Don't be afraid, Paul. I am God and I am in control, and I'm going to deliver you from this. But Paul, listen to me. It's going to cost you the ship. In other words, there's going to be an accident. It's going to be kind of ugly. And Paul, you're going to have to swim a little bit. You're going to get wet, Paul. So get ready. And this isn't, listen, by the way, when I don't know about you, but if you're in a boat and you hit a rock, that's like a sudden stop. Anybody ever notice that? And so, yeah, you're done. And you're this is not going to be comfortable. Anytime you have a crash landing, it is not comfortable. And so he says, Paul, listen to me. You have to go before Caesar, so you have to trust me that I'm telling you I will deliver you. But you still are in the storm, and it's still going to cost you. Guys, have you ever stopped to hear from God when you're praying and God says, I'm going to deliver you, but it's still going to cost. I mean, I'm going to deliver you. Your life is going to be delivered, but it's going to cost. Paul was at the crossroads of having to believe. And Paul believed. Do you know how you know he believed? Because he was telling others. My God, verse 23, will save us. My God will deliver us. And Paul believed, and Paul was being delivered, and it was good for Paul because Paul was secure in his God. Are you secure in your God? And before you say yes, how many times do you listen to him? Before you say yes, how many times do you surrender to his will? Before you say yes, how many things have you put before him that you've made God rather than him? Paul says, God says, Paul, I'm going to deliver you, but it's still going to be uncomfortable. Why? Well, because you're involved with a bunch of people that's involved in sin. And sin costs. There's a price to pay for sin. And so there's going to be this accident with the ship, but I will deliver you. Look here in 25. I love Paul's attitude because Paul says, the ship is going down, guys. But you're going to live. Every one of you are going to live. And then he uses this word, therefore. Because God's going to save you, because God's going to deliver you, that's that therefore. That word therefore is because. Even because of your silliness, because of your lack of belief, because of your lack of understanding, because of your willful disobedience, God's still going to deliver you. Therefore, take heart. For I believe, look what he says here, for I believe God. Guys, do you realize that when we continue on because we have hope that the lost person doesn't have? Do you realize that we continue on because we have what the world wishes they had, and that is the peace of God, the strength of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the glory of God, the deliverance of God? Do you realize that we have what the world is begging for, but they refuse to believe it comes from Jesus Christ? And Paul recognizes it, and he says, listen, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God. Your testimony, remember last week I talked about that was then and this is now? Your testimony can carry the lost into heaven, like Jude says. Your testimony, because if you believe God and you live for God and you strive for God and you listen to God and you're obedient to God, your testimony can deliver the lost and they'll live. And Paul says, I told you this was going to be rough. Paul says, but take heart, my God, whom I serve, says we're all going to live, but the ship isn't going to live. So take heart because I believe my God. That's powerful, guys. He's not only quiet, I mean, he's not quiet about his God. He is very vocal, and he says, my God is going to deliver you. He is the only hope that you have. Look here in 26. However, Man, take heart, we're going to live, but we still got to ride out the storm. My God's going to deliver us. However, there's another cost. Isn't it amazing? There's always that price to pay, isn't there? However, we must run aground on a certain island. We're going to crash, guys. Crash landing, but don't worry. My God says he's going to deliver us, and I believe my God. And guess what happens? God delivers them. They're shipwrecked on Malta, the island of Malta. Well, they get on the island of Malta, and the people that live there, they see the shipwreck, and sure enough, just like Paul says, God delivers all of them. So they get on the land, and they start to build a fire. They got to get warm. Because you got to remember, the whole time they were just talking about winter, traveling in winter. I don't know if you guys realize, but when it gets winter outside, the water gets cold. Amen? And so they had just got through swimming because their ship went down, and so they swim over to the island, and which, by the way, they're not far out. The water's not real deep, but nonetheless, they're still wet because their ship runs on the rocks. They swim over to the mainland. They get on the land, and then the people come to help them out, and they start building a fire, and as Paul's collecting wood for the fire, a snake grabs hold of him. And you go, really? Now, and by the way, it's the most poisonous snake that there was for those people in that area. That when that snake bites you, it's within a matter of hours, you're dead. And so this snake latches on to Paul's hand when he reaches down to grab some sticks. And Paul being the macho 5'4 man that he is. By the way, I don't know if you guys know, but Paul was actually short. They estimate him between 5'4 and 5'6 height-wise. At any rate, so he has this snake, and he looks at this snake, and then he takes the snake, and he just flings it off of him and goes on about his business. Why would he do that? In Mark chapter 16:14, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 16, God says, listen to me. You go out and preach the gospel. You do what I say to do. You live for me, and you do it my way instead of your way. And guess what? If you drink poison, you won't die. And if you get bit by poisonous snakes, you won't die. And you know what? You'll just, man, you'll be able to speak in tongues, and you'll be able to touch people and heal them, and so on and so forth. Now, don't be confused, because a lot of those gifts aren't for today. They were for back then, because that was the beginning of the gospel, and they had to survive everything and speak in different languages, that's the tongues, so that other people could hear the gospel and get saved, and then it would just grow from there. So when you talk about speaking in different tongues, it's not gibberish, is another language. We find that in Acts chapter 1:8 through the beginning of chapter 2, when he lists all the known languages that they spoke. So we know that he's talking about languages that are understandable, that exist, because he says all the nations that existed were there in the beginning of Acts. And then he says we spoke in all their languages, and then he lists the languages that they spoke, meaning that we spoke in all the tongues. So don't confuse gibberish tongues with language tongues. And gibberish tongues is talked about in Corinthians chapter 14. Paul does talk about gibberish tongues, but those gibberish tongues, Paul says, don't do it in front of anybody. Go to your closet and do it. Right? That's what he does. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, and so please don't misunderstand me, because he says if you do it in the church, people are going to think you're crazy, and so don't do it in a church. And by the way, if you speak in a gibberish tongue, nobody's going to understand you, so it's only going to edify you. It's not going to edify the body, so don't do it, because there's no edification for God. So I believe when Paul shakes off this snake, and it's because God said, I'm going to give you all these abilities. By the way, there was a sick man here. Paul heals the sick man, and then guess what they do with every sick person in Malta? They bring him to Paul. Paul's the doctor! And Paul, the Bible says that Paul touched them and he healed every one of them. Why? Because God gave him the ability. Why? Because this is the beginning of the gospel being spread throughout, and God is giving Paul credibility. And so therefore he gives him the ability to heal. Does this make sense? And by the way, I'm not saying God doesn't heal today, because I believe that he does. But he doesn't do it like Benny Hinn. I'm just saying. I know, I'm not supposed to use names, am I? Dog on it. I'm trying to learn that. All right. So, at any rate, so they're shipwrecked on Malta. All this is going down. Paul is like, hey, man, this is what's going on. But he says, you know what? No matter what, we still got to continue on. All this stuff has happened, and not one time will you find in here where Paul uses any of it as an excuse to not continue on doing the work of the Lord. Nowhere in this will you ever find Paul quitting. Yes, he got frustrated. Yes, he was annoyed. Yes, he was hurt. Yes, he was beaten. Yes, I mean, the frustration did set in. Yeah, he was disheartened every now and then. We see that. But he never quit. He never quit. And in all the book of Acts, everything that we've learned, the thing I want you to take away from the entire book is no matter what happens, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't stop. You didn't put your time in. Your time is done when your last breath is done. Don't quit. Well, I just don't feel like doing ministry anymore. Here's what you're saying. Are you ready? Hold on. This one's going to sting about that much. What you're saying is, I don't feel like serving God anymore. It's not your ministry. That's your excuse. You're saying, I don't want to serve God anymore. When you quit, you're saying, God, I've had enough. I love you, but I'm going to live my life my way. Thank you. But be there when I die because I want to go to heaven. That's really what you're saying. When you quit, when you use all these excuses, you're saying, God, you are no longer number one in my life. This is. You can't quit. Well, you know, I've tried as hard as I could try, and I'm just, you know, you can't blame me because I tried. Oh, so you're quitting. When you say I tried and you're giving the implication that you're done now, that means you're quitting. You can't quit. God didn't give you permission to quit. God didn't tell you you're done. Matter of fact, you're not done until you see Jesus face to face. Then you're done. On earth. We cannot quit. We have got to continue on. Look what Paul does. Jump down here to in 28, verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, but because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to which to accuse my nation. He says, this is how I got here, guys. Look here in 20. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Then they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came and reported or spoken any evil of you. Nobody's talked about you, Paul. I'm not that important that nobody's talked to me about me? Surely I'm more important than that. Can you see the pride, how it could easily well up? Not with Paul. Look what Paul says. Look here in 22. They go on. But we desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this sect. In other words, about Jesus Christ, about the resurrection. Because remember, that was the whole issue why he was arrested. It was because of the resurrection. He says here, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. In other words, nobody believes in this Jesus, is spoken against everywhere you go, but we want to hear about it. 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Some of you guys will go, hey, I shared and they got saved. Or you go, you know what, I shared and they don't want to hear, they don't believe, and so there's just no sense. And by the way, I'm very uncomfortable with sharing the gospel because people don't believe, and that just makes me more uncomfortable, and I'm not going to do it. Is that continuing on or is that quitting? It's quitting. You don't see Paul quitting. Guess what? Paul says, okay, look here, they don't believe, no problem. Look here in verse 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers. They're arguing, they don't believe, and so Paul says, hey, let me share this last thing with you before you go. Let me send you out so you guys can fight amongst yourselves and shipwreck. It's okay, go ahead. But here's what he says. And by the way, he repeats Isaiah. He speaks out of Isaiah because they're Jews and they know about Isaiah and they've read the book of Isaiah, so they know what he's about to talk about. It's just that conviction thing. It's that heaping hot coals, if you will. He says, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull." Would that be America right now? Oh, yeah. "For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." You got to go to the people, because if they don't hear the word of God, they won't turn from their sin. If they don't turn from their sin, God can't heal them. Guys, we can't quit. There's people out there that need Jesus. Oh, by the way, there's some of you here today that need to be reminded of Jesus. You need to be reminded of salvation. You need to be reminded of what God will do for you. Verse 28, "Therefore, because of what I just said about Isaiah, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." Who in here is Jewish? Raise your hand. Who's a Gentile? Raise their hand. Paul says this is for you. You're a Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. 29, "And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves." Paul didn't care that they didn't like what he had to say. He still said the truth. "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Guys, I'm telling you, Paul didn't quit, because Paul didn't quit. God sent people to him, and when God sent people to him, the people got saved, and Paul continued on in his ministry because Paul didn't quit. And I'm telling you, if you ignore God, you're going to get shipwrecked. But if you stop at any point and you start listening to God, he will deliver you, and then he'll use you. The book of Acts, right there. Continue on. Why? It's not about you. It's about those who don't know Jesus Christ. Continue on. Why? Why do we continue on? Because we need to be reminded of Jesus, just like the lost person needs to hear about Jesus. Continue on. Quitting is not an option. You've not put your time in until you see Jesus. You've not done such a wonderful job that you don't need to keep doing something else. Continue on. And when people rebel against you, continue on. When people curse you, continue on. When they don't like you, continue on. When they love you, continue on. When it's convenient, continue on. When it's not convenient, continue on. We have a job to do, and the job is to preach the gospel. Because if somebody didn't do their job, you would still be lost and dying and going to hell. Continue on. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I think about, the men, the women who have continued on. Lord, when times were rough, Lord, as I think about pastors who have just really been beaten up, Lord, as they've had their family attacked, as they've been attacked, and yet, Lord, they stay in the pulpit and they preach faithfully, Lord, God bless them and keep your hand on them. Lord, help them to continue on. Lord, help them to build up, to edify, to prepare the saints so that, Lord, they would go out and do the work of the ministry. And then, Lord, for those who go out and have done the work of the ministry, Lord, and have been mocked, or, Lord, they've been criticized, Lord, they have been verbally attacked, Lord, they have been maybe physically attacked, whatever it is, Lord, because they say, "I love Jesus." Lord, help them to heal their wounds, Lord, and then continue on. Lord, help us to understand we can't stop. Lord, help each and every one of us to understand that, Lord, we don't have the time to forget about the lost. We don't have the time to deny you. Lord, we don't have the time left to think somebody else is going to do our job for us. Lord, I believe the day being the rapture is upon us. Lord, help us to have the mindset of Paul, that we believe you and therefore we move forward. Lord, that we believe you and therefore we trust you and we hold on to you, Lord, knowing that you will deliver us no matter what happens. Lord, help us to truly grab hold and understand we need to continue on. No matter the storms, the trials, or the tribulations, Lord, we need to hold on to you because, Lord, if we don't and we think we have a better way, Lord, we're going to go into a storm that's going to cost us a great deal. And so, Lord, help us to continue on. Lord, I just thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you empower us to do an amazing work for you when we hold on to you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.